Yeah.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Lavender Fix podcast. I'm your host, Sabreen Halzik, and oh my God, I cannot believe that this is finally happening and that we're recording the very first episode. Now, I've been wanting to do this for over a year now, but never really took the process, too seriously until now. So to give you a little overview of why lavender, I love lavender. Period. I love the color, I love the scent, and I love the actual flower. So, when I was brainstorming names for the podcast, I decided to, just casually Google some benefits for lavender. And interestingly, all online resources pointed to the fact that lavender has been valued for centuries for not just its beauty, but also its soothing fragrance and healing properties. Also, because of its association with springtime, for those of you who don't know, lavender represents the optimistic beginning of new stages in life, which is exactly what this podcast is all about. It's about knowledge sharing with concrete solutions that are driven by personal experiences, so other individuals who are grappling with similar struggles can learn, overcome, and thrive. Now, moving on to the topic for today's discussion, as you can tell by the title of this episode, the inter-religion wedding saga, a very controversial topic, especially for Southeast Asians. Interfaith and intercaste couples have never really had it easy in India. And given the current political state, the atmosphere has only increasingly become even more polarized. Discourse on interfaith marriages in India involves so many diverse narratives ranging from opposition and resistance to acceptance or not. And these alliances, I personally believe, deserve greater focus in terms of their uniqueness, challenges, as well as the everyday negotiations that become part of life. So what can people grappling with this issue do? How should they approach it? What is the best way to talk about it with your parents? Do you give up or do you fight? These are all very important questions, and I am so very excited to kick off this episode with two of my very dear friends, Sana Zabeen and Lalit Dalal, who I've known for close to 10 years now. They've been with me through thick and thin and have in fact rescued me from some of my own boy troubles. And I've watched them grow into a family of four now with their newborn daughter, Elishma, who's a brand new addition. So hello, Sana and Lalit. Welcome to the Lavender Fix.
Hi, Sabreen.
Hi, Sabreen.
We are good. How are you?
Not bad. Not bad. So this is like the first episode. How do you guys feel? You're my first guests.
Nervous and excited both at the same time.
Don't be nervous. Don't be nervous.
I am feeling really happy, and I knew it for a matter of fact that I will be on the first episode.
Aww.
Yeah, that you were confident about.
No, I'm glad. And I mean, I honestly really wanted to start the podcast with a very compelling story. And, I've never done this before. So this is also a new learning experience for me. And I just honestly, guys, I'm not saying this because you are on this episode right now, but I couldn't think of anyone else. Absolutely couldn't. So,
all right.
Tell me, you guys. So Sana, you are originally from Mumbai.
I'm originally from Bombay, to be precise.
Okay, and Lalit is from New Delhi.
New Delhi, yes.
I was expecting that. All right, so yeah, I already have that information, but I wanted to set some context. Okay, so, all right, so Sana and Lalit, I mean, where do we start? I know, I want to know everything in the chronological order, how it all started, the love, the challenges, getting married, life now, and I know that's a mouthful, but I think the ultimate goal is that, most importantly, we'll also like to get to the part where we give advice to other people, advice that is sort of driven from your personal experience, so that other people who are going through something like this in their real life, you know, can learn from it and hopefully cross that abyss. So, Sana, let's just start with you. Give us a little overview of the timeline.
So, when Facebook had just started and all of us were going crazy about it because it was a networking platform back then, I happened to get a friend request from a boy called Lalit Dalal, and his profile picture was quite cute, so I accepted it. And I wanted to build my network in New Delhi because I had some reasons behind it. You'll get to know about that in the episode, okay? So I added him in 2008, November, I believe. And 2009, during 2009, end of 2009, this boy used to comment on, flatter me with his compliments and edit my pictures without my permission and then send it to me.
Are you telling me?
He was trying to make an impact on my mind, and he did.
Okay.
And the reason I wanted to be, like, I wanted to build my network in New Delhi was because of Jamia Millia Islamia, and I wanted to pursue convergent journalism.
Right.
And that's how I started interacting a lot with Lalit, because Lalit used to sneakily, you know, sneak in and there all the time.
What?
Beautiful, girly and all of that. And I used to be like, yeah, yeah, I'm good. I'm quite busy. And I used to do a lot of internships back then. So, yeah, I used to not give him that much of attention. But yeah, when I was in need, I started talking to him. And he, I don't know how, but turned out to be quite, you know, gentle and very warm and very comfortable. While we were chatting, and he went out of his way to inquire about the forms in Jamia, the fee structure, and he even purchased the form for us and he sent it to me.
Wow.
So that's how I was quite, you know,
blown away.
Yeah. And after that, I think there was no stopping from that episode, I think.
So you guys just sort of, you guys just... One thing led to another, basically. It blossomed into something more. So you became friends online. Just so you know, like, you cannot tell your daughter in future that you can't date anyone on the internet because, well, we met on the internet. She's always going to hold that over your head.
Yeah, she will do that.
So, Sana, just to backtrack a little bit, so you're saying that... you know, you guys are already sort of connected on Facebook and you were using it as a way to network because that's what Facebook was at the time. And Lalit was, he kind of helped you. So this is going to be a slightly, it's going to be a heavy pivot, but did you get into this thinking that, I mean, obviously we also need to talk about, so Sana, you come from a Muslim family, right?
Yeah.
And Lalit, you come from, how do I describe it? Like, what?
A Hindu family?
You come from a Hindu family, and like, is there a specific... So, okay, so you come from a very traditional Hindu family. Sana comes from a very traditional Muslim family. And when you guys were, when you guys started talking, did it ever occur to you that, you know, because I mean, I know a lot of people out there who get attracted to someone because, you know, love has no religion, and then eventually they're like, oh, this is not serious, I'm just doing this for fun, or they know that, oh my god, I'm very serious about this, but I don't think it'll work out. What was your you know, state of mind at the time when you started talking? Because it was very evident, I'm pretty sure you guys already knew where you like about your background. So what was that like? Did you think about it?
Frankly, I'll tell you, when we started chatting, or even when we started dating, we didn't think at all about this religion thing, at all. At least for me, that thing was not there in my mind. that, you know, religion will become an issue in, I mean, going forward. That time it wasn't there. It came when we started talking about getting married.
Right. And Sana, what
That
about
was the
you?
time it occurred. Before that, this thing was not there.
Okay.
So with me, it was I always had it at the back of my mind because obviously for a girl there is a lot of thing that you need to, you know, put out when you want to be with someone or you choose a. So it was there in the back of my mind all the time. But when I started dating Lalit, this thing was not bothering me at all. Because for me, it was important to find a life partner who understood me, who matched my wavelength, who wanted the same thing from life, you know, our hobbies, our taste in music, movies. All of those things had to be, you know, common. So I would say not everything is common between us, but most of the things are.
Okay, so you had it in your mind to some extent. Lalit, you didn't as much. And so you guys were talking on Yahoo Messenger, and that sort of blossomed into video calls. And so, Sana, I remember you told me that one fine day you guys asked each other, are we just friends?
No, so before that, let me move back to the Yahoo Messenger date that we had, okay? So while Lalit was extremely sleepy, and even I was, and I was like, okay, so let's hang up now. So he was like, yeah, why not? So I before he could, he was typing out stuff like goodbye, and it was really nice seeing you and all of that. I asked him, I was like, can I have your number? And Lalit was
I
on the
never asked
camera.
her about her number. So
But why did you
opens.
add me on Facebook? I really need to know. You never answered this to me.
Because I liked you. I liked your
He
profile
thought you were
picture.
very hot.
Simple, but just the profile picture.
Just the see, the
Shallow.
story behind this was
The
that
story behind this is that you guys, I'm very shallow.
No, and
Who
you
is
would be
very shallow? No,
surprised to
I'll
know,
tell you the
Sabine.
story. I'll tell you the story.
The fa I just want to say one thing and then you can begin, Lalit. So, when Lalit added me, our common friends were Ranvijay Singh and Nitin Shirodkar.
Roadies, MTV.
And I was like, okay, this guy is from Delhi, ये पक्का रोडी में इसका कुछ ना कुछ तो होगा, like he
Oh
would have
my
some
God.
connection with रोडीज और MTV. So I was like, I should add this boy because he, you know, I might end up helping me in getting a job or, you know, whatever. That was
Great.
the reason I
This is not sounding transactional at all, you guys. This is sounding
added
very beautiful.
Lalit. Let me tell you my side of the story. It's very
Okay.
interesting. So I had a breakup before adding her.
Yeah. And she was from your faith.
She was from my faith,
Okay.
and that relationship lasted for about 3 4 years, I think.
Okay.
Okay. And it was a really bad breakup.
Okay.
So after that breakup, 3 4 months after that breakup, I was planning to go to Bombay and Goa. Okay. For a holiday.
Oh.
You know that story. I don't know whether you remember it or not. I
Okay.
told you. So I started looking for people who are actually from Goa, right? And her profile popped up, which said that she's from Goa. So
Yeah, my ancestors are.
basically my thing was that I wanted to know some locals who
Would help you.
basically are from that place, and they can, you know, it's nice to be with local people, local girls. So
Girls, local
I
girls.
started,
Local
local
girls, that
girls or
sounded
guys.
so.
Okay.
Okay, so that was the reason why I added her.
Okay.
And she was, her profile was looking quite interesting, so that was the reason.
Okay.
It wasn't random.
All right. So no. Definitely there was, you know, certain in, you know, there was a certain intention behind this whole thing. But so I want to go back to the main piece now. So when exactly did you ask that question, you guys? Are we just friends?
So I remember it was talking on the phone for, I think, and web chatting for almost 3-4 months.
Nah.
Yeah.
After a week.
No. It wasn't after a week.
Are you sure?
Really?
Yeah.
It's okay, yeah. We're all cheap.
Yeah, I'm so charming. Yeah. You could resist.
So, yeah. You guys discovered that, obviously, I mean, it's pretty obvious, you know, there's a certain level of chemistry and you guys were like, we're definitely more than that, right?
Mm.
And I'm pretty sure, you know, yes, this whole religion piece was not really something that you were focusing on too much. But when I want to get to a point where, when did you guys meet?
So Lalit came to Bombay for a work trip. And that's how he just called me one fine day. And I think I was quite upset with him. And we had taken a break from each other.
Okay.
And we'll come to that story later.
Yeah, I think I know.
So he used to call me and I used to be extremely rude to him. And I'd be like, no, that is how I will, you know, treat this boy now. Because we were not together that time.
No, before I was coming to Bombay.
So listen to me. So then he called up and I think at around 11:30. And I was just about to go to sleep. And I was like, why are you calling me at this hour? What do you want? So he was like, nothing, I just called to say hello and this and that, good night and all of that. So I was like, okay, so now you said good night, so rakh du phone. So should I hang up? So he was like, no. Actually, I wanted to ask you that, how do you guys live in Bombay? It is so humid. And I was like, how do you know that it is humid in, I think he came in November or something. So he was sweating. He's like, kitni garmi hai, it is so hot over here. So I was like, are you in Bombay by any chance? So he's like, yeah, I am here. I thought that I would let you know. And if in case you want to meet me, why, you know, just let me know where and when. You decide and I will be there.
Yeah.
So then I called up my best friend and she told me that, okay, go and meet him. It's okay. What's the harm in meeting him? You've been talking to him and it's okay.
Yeah.
So that's how we decided a place we met.
So you guys met and sort of, despite all your cultural differences and difference in background, you kind of met and you felt like it was right.
Yeah.
And did your parents know that you were dating each other?
Not for a while.
What is a while? How long?
I think for about a year.
Oh, wow. How did you guys manage to...
My family kind of knew.
Okay.
Yeah, because they were always looking for a girl for Lalit. Yeah.
So, did they...
One day, we just showed them my picture, like, this is the girl.
So, did they know... Lalit, did they know that Sana was from a Muslim family?
Initially, they were not serious about it. They thought that I'm just, you know, bluffing. Not playing around with the girl, but playing around with them.
Okay.
Like with the family, I'm just joking around with the family.
Right.
So that's what I thought.
But even when you were joking around...
To avoid the topic of the marriage, they thought I'm saying all this.
But even when you were joking around with them, like you weren't joking around with them, but even when they thought you were joking around with them, were they aware of the fact that Sana was a Muslim?
Yeah, they knew.
They knew.
So the very first time when I showed Sana's picture to my mom, she said, yeah, she's very pretty and all.
and the moment
I told her that, you know, she's going to be your daughter-in-law.
Oh my god. Fireworks?
She got really uncomfortable.
Okay.
About the whole idea.
But do you think she was uncomfortable because of Sana's faith? Do you think it was that?
No, that was not the reason. She was uncomfortable because they were looking for
they were talking to someone.
They were talking to someone about my marriage and all.
Okay. Yeah. And Sana, so for your side of the family, was it they didn't know? Or did they have a clue?
So I used to give my mother a lot of hints. So before adding Lalit, I also went through a bad breakup, okay? And I told my mother that, and that boy was a Muslim. So I told my mother very frankly one day over tea that you need to be prepared about one thing. So she's like, about what? So I told her that I will not get married to a Muslim. So she was shocked and she was just staring at me. So she then smiled and she's like, we will see. So I was like, yeah, you will see. So she told me that, so what? You will get married to a Catholic, Parsi, Hindu. So I was like, any one of them, I don't know as of now, but it will not be a Muslim boy for sure, mom. So I gave her that hint and I was hell-bent on the fact that I will not get married to a Muslim boy.
Right. And for all the listeners, I mean, obviously there's nothing wrong with Muslim men, but I think to set the context, Sana was
my bad experience. Okay?
Sana was, yeah, and Sana was young and Sana was sort of, she had a bad experience and
yeah.
Yes, I just wanted to put this on records. So it's not like a, oh my God, why are you saying that? Anyway, Sana, yeah, go on.
So, I also got a proposal from someone, and that time my uncle got that proposal, one of his friend's nephew or someone. And he came and he told my mother about it. And then my mom told me to have a look at his picture and all of those things. So that's when I told mom about Lalit, that, okay, this is one guy and I've been talking to him. And I think I really love him and I will get married to him only. So my mom was like, okay, what's his name? I said, his name is Lalit Dalal. She was like, what the fuck?
No, I think initially she thought I'm Gujarati or something.
Yeah, she thought that. Yeah, because in Bombay, like in Maharashtra, Dalals are Gujaratis.
Yeah. And parents, for some reason, have a very good sense of surnames and where they come from. So, yeah, I'm not surprised that your mom was trying to connect the dots. So then eventually I know Lalit's side of the, you know, mom was uncomfortable. So your mom, was she shell-shocked? Was she worried? Was she trying to tell you, okay, yeah, this is great. It's all in your mind and this is, you know, you need to snap out of it.
No, so this wasn't the case with her. She was not very happy. She wanted to meet him, but so she told me that, okay, whoever this guy is, I want to meet him.
Wow.
So I was like, okay.
I mean, that's great. Yeah. Like, I'm really surprised she even said that, because I think for most of people, I mean, this is obviously subjective, but people in my circle who are in a similar situation, their parents don't really even agree to do anything. I mean, I'm not going to name people, but in my mind, if I think about it, I can count the number of people who were in like 10-year long relationships and ended up marrying different people. Yeah. And it's insane, like, to me. And one of them moved on and the other is kind of still hung up and is really unhappy in his marriage. So, I mean, I think that's amazing, like, for your mom to even say that, yeah, I mean, let's check this guy out. Let's see what he's made up of, you know?
So the thing was, my mom wanted to meet him because my mom has this good ability to see through a person, okay?
Yeah.
So my mom thought that I will meet this boy and then I'll find like 100 faults in him and I will tell my daughter each and everything. Yeah. Okay, so that was her plan basically. And one fine day, Lalit again came to Bombay. Yeah. And me and my mother, I took my mom to meet him. And you would be surprised, the first time when they met, they were talking about the anti-corruption movement that Anna Hazare started.
Anna Hazare is a politician, by the way, you guys, in India. Right.
Sorry, what? Yeah, the anti-corruption movement
yeah.
that actually changed the course of the country. Mm-hmm. Anyways, we need another episode for that. So, after the meeting and everything, there was absolutely no talk of marriage that time. My mother just met him casually and everything. And we went back home, okay? And later on, I asked my mom, like, so what do you think? So she told me very honestly that I couldn't find anything wrong in this boy except for his religion. So I was like, mom, that is secondary. Tell me about the boy. So he's like, no, I think he's perfect for you. I could see it in his eyes.
Wow.
That he really loves you. So I was like, I just wanted to hear that. Mm.
You know, I mean, I have a
mother was very big.
You know, I have a very specific opinion on this. So, and I may get a lot of flack for saying this, but so I feel like parents, right? I mean, they obviously have your best interest at heart and they raise you with so much love, and this, especially this whole institution of, you know, parenthood and the values associated with it in India, they're very strong set of values. So I've always wondered, and like I said, I've never had to battle with this issue in my life, but I always thought to myself that they raise you with so much love and compassion and they would die for you. But when it comes to their child spending the rest of their life with someone, see, this may sound a little harsh, but, you know, we're not immortal. People eventually, you know, like, I mean, I'm not going to live forever. And if there's someone, like, if I have a child and this child says, you know, I really want to marry this person, and even if I personally am old school and think that, oh my God, but they're not from our faith, I have to rethink and say, no, but like, once I'm gone, this child still has to spend the rest of their life with this person, and this person should be of their choice. It shouldn't really matter what I think about their faith. But I think it's going to take years before that perception changes. I mean, with you guys, your parents came around and, you know, they accepted you guys eventually with open arms. And, you know, but I know for a fact that there are so many kids out there who really want to marry the love of their life and they're not really able to. And I've always wondered, but you raise a kid with so much love and then eventually want them to marry someone they don't love and they're maybe unhappy all their life. So I'm sorry, I just wanted to insert this because I've always wondered. Anyway, so right now she couldn't find any fault in him. So that was a good sign, right? How did you guys then go from we are dating, our parents sort of know, but we want to take this to the next level, get married, because I'm sure that was the start of another battle.
So I want to go back to that Jamia Millia examination. So before my mother could say this to me, we went to Delhi, me and my best friend Joel, because we wanted to, you know, study further, and Jamia was an ideal institution. So Lalit hosted the both of us, and Joel is my best friend. So he stayed with me and Lalit, and he told me that, you know, Lalit is a very good guy, Sana. You should, he's a keeper. You have to not let him go. And that was also, that gave me a lot of confidence, and it further built my commitment towards him. It was a stepping stone that time. And yeah, going back to this whole thing of we staying at Lalit's place, he actually was a very good host, okay? His house was, the bachelor pad was clean, tidy, and, you know, everything was prim and proper. And there was, like, I think one whole box full of Maggi. And Lalit actually served us 6 different types of Maggi that time. So I I told this to myself that if I get married to this boy,
I will get to eat lots of Maggie.
I will not end up being hungry at night because he will cook Maggie for me.
That is, I would say that by far in this episode, that is the most critical piece of information that you have shared, that Lalit knows how to cook six different renditions of, I mean, Lalit, honestly, I would love to learn.
No, not just six, I know many more.
Okay, well, I'll take you up on that. But okay, so he hosted you, you stayed with each other, your best friend who was earlier, I believe, skeptical of, you know.
Was very skeptical because Delhi boys once again.
Yep.
So
okay.
He was extremely concerned about me.
So was this the second time you met? Because you did mention that he was in Bombay. So he met your mom.
The first time we met was in Bombay.
Yeah.
The second time we went to Delhi for the examination, and later on Lalit came to meet. Like then it started, and we both started flying to Bombay, Delhi, and it was like a thing.
Okay. And so, after how long of being in this sort of, you know, because when you're traveling for each other, that's huge. That's obviously taking your relationship to the next level. So, how long after being in this long-distance relationship, what changed? Because, Sana, I do remember very distinctly that you had decided to move to New Delhi. And
yeah, that happened.
Okay, it happened. And so had you decided at the time that, yes, I mean, I'm going to marry this guy? And why did you decide to move to Delhi, and how was it moving away?
No, the reason was not marriage. The reason was spending more time with Lalit. And I was like hopelessly in love with him. And I wanted to, you know, be with him because I was also very fed up of the long distance, like meeting just on long weekends or taking break from work. I just wanted to live with him like normal couple.
Yeah.
You know what normal couples do. So I just once got to know that IndiGo is having some open walk-in interviews.
The airline, yes.
In some random hotel in Bombay, and I just went there. I walked in, I got ready, I walked in, and I was selected. And while I was selected, they told me that we will not station you in Bombay, but you will be stationed in another city. And the cities were Bangalore, Delhi, and Jaipur. So I was like, oh fuck, this is working out. I chose Delhi immediately.
Yeah.
I moved to Delhi after that, and I used to stay very close to where Lalit used to live. And for a brief time, I enjoyed that whole courtship period.
And so
it was like, really great.
So Sana, I would we're also close to the end of time. So I'd like to. So my question to you is that you, okay. So this was another sort of step towards you wanted to spend more time with him, and I'm assuming the intention was that you don't want to take such a big decision in your life knowing all your differences without spending qualitative time with him, right? And I remember that when you moved to Delhi, you were very homesick, and you know, were obviously you love Bombay. I know that very well, and I think there is a very sort of invisible I don't even know what to call it, there's friction between like people from Delhi and Bombay, and so it was different for you. Yeah, it was different for you. So when you moved to Delhi, I mean, Lalit, this is a question for you. Obviously, your parents were aware of the fact that this girl has moved. And this is the same girl who's not from your faith. And they thought they initially thought you were joking around. But what was their reaction? Because, you know, that's like when shit hits the fan and you realize that, oh my God, my child is serious about this girl who's not from our faith. Right? So what was that like? What was their reaction?
Shocked. They were shocked. They were very shocked, but I never stopped talking about it with them.
So do you think that, you know, for people who are currently dealing with this right now, that it's important to keep bringing it up in conversations? How do you keep it alive?
It is, and they should also know how to talk to their parents, how to make them actually understand. And this will, trust me when I say, it is not going to happen with heated arguments. Never. You will have to sit and talk about it nicely.
Yeah.
So, over and over and over and over again.
Right.
And there comes a time in your life when everything, when you will find that even after talking to them so many times, it's not working out, then you will also lose your shit for a while, for a short while. But don't get carried away.
Right. So, I mean,
at the end of the day, they are your parents.
Yeah.
You need to make them understand, you know, how you feel about that girl or how you feel about that boy. And you also need to make them understand that you have to spend your entire life with that person whom you are choosing.
Yeah. Right?
So, for me and for Sana, I think religion comes secondary. People whom we love, whether they are our family or
friends,
they come first.
Right.
So we believe in, you know, keeping our near and dear ones happy first.
Yeah, humanity and, comes first before.
Yes, and religion is something which is very spiritual, and we don't wear it on our sleeves.
It's a very personal thing.
It is extremely personal.
So, I mean, I agree with you on so many different levels. But so my question is, Lalit, back to your point of, you said that it's all about sort of bringing it up with your parents, but in a polite manner. It can't be a heated argument, because I think it's all about conditioning. You are helping them unlearn certain things and learn, you know, relearn, not relearn, but you're trying to make them understand new concepts and new world norms. So when Sana moved to New Delhi, they were shell-shocked. You were trying to mediate, have tactical conversations, and I'm pretty sure Sana was doing the same at her end. When did you feel like, because I'm pretty sure, I mean, if you started living together, you already knew that, okay, this is it, I'm going to marry this person. So at what point did you start flipping that switch with your parents that it is going to happen and I'm preparing you guys? And yeah, I just want to understand the transition, because we, at this point, I think we should get to the, you know, the whole plot about how the tug of war and how you guys eventually kind of got to a point where you got married.
I started it immediately when I myself was sure that, you know, she's the girl. She's the one.
Okay.
And so I started giving them hints that, you know, I'm going to marry this girl. And they were looking for girls for me and all that. So I told them that they can stop now.
Did they stop?
Someone? Huh?
Did they stop?
No.
They didn't.
It's okay. Their job not to stop.
Yeah.
Yeah. They'll keep poking you. Throughout.
So I mean, when Sana's in New Delhi, right? Sana's in New Delhi.
Sorry.
Sana's in New Delhi. She's living with you. Your parents know.
Not living with him, but living close to him.
Living close to him. Yeah, I mean, same
thing,
you know.
How, and that's when I got introduced to his immediate family. But before this big move to Delhi, Lalit's Masi was in Bombay for a trip.
Yeah.
And that's when it really struck me that Lalit is extremely serious about me. Because he called me one fine day and I was at work. This was, I think, few months before I moved to Delhi. And he told me that my Masi wants to meet you. So I was like, yeah, so when I come to Delhi next, I'll meet her. So he was like, no, she is in Bombay and she wants to meet you tomorrow. I was like, what? So he was like, yes, she wants to meet you. And I went to meet her, and they really seemed nice people, and they liked me. I liked them. I took them out. I took them around. I showed them my favorite places, took them to have food and everything. So it was a very good experience with them. And when I moved to Delhi, I was constantly in touch with his Masi, and his Masi was the one who was hell-bent on our marriage.
Okay.
Because she knew that we both love each other, and she knew that Lalit will be extremely happy to, you know,
have me in his life.
So that's how that whole thing began. And when I met his sister, she immediately jumped on this fact that you guys should get married. And I was like, I don't want to get married so soon. Like, yeah, I want to marry him, but not immediately. She's like, no. You have to get married in the coming 3-2 months, 2 to 6 months.
Oh, wow.
Then I told Lalit, I was like, no. This is not working out. I still have to figure out what I want to do in my career. Because yeah. I just left a job and I was a cabin crew. I was not enjoying that cabin crew job. And then eventually I got the dream job that I wanted, which made me move back to Bombay.
Yeah. Aunt was in Bombay, and I'm assuming that it was some sort of like a mini pre-assessment kind of a meeting where she also sort of wanted to understand before she endorsed this whole idea of you guys getting married. And so I think one other takeaway would be here for anyone who's dealing with something like this, you know, it's always great to find a source of support in your family. Yeah, I can say this because I've had a lot of friends who've said this to me. And so I think that if there's someone in your family who's, I don't want to say this, not easy to crack, but someone who has that bent of mind, who will be a little bit more open to the idea of helping you, I think that is a huge pillar of support. Instead of you...
The best strategy one can apply is they don't think that you'll have to... convince the entire family by yourself. You can't do that. It's not possible. Okay. You need to make
one or two people in your family who are key in making that decision.
Yes. And they will then, you know, start conversations with the people within the family. So that's how things will start getting a little positive day by day.
And so, Lalit, was your Masi that person in this relationship? Was she the one who kind of helped really?
Yeah, she played a huge part. Then my brother also played a huge part, Kartike.
Right.
He was actually the one who...
broke this news to Masi that he's seeing someone in Bombay.
And then he also tried to convince my family also, my mother, my father, my sister, my brother. So he was the key point in convincing most of our family, most of my family actually.
This is interesting. You had a good circle of support and you were starting to build a circle of support rather. How did it get to a point where, you know, I mean, one is weaving this idea and it's like a mirage for parents. It doesn't hit them till the time you put your foot down and say, okay, yeah, I'm actually really serious and we're thinking of getting married in the next year. Or, you know, that's when they realize that, oh my God, this person's not just stalling, they're actually going to do it. Tell me a little bit about... So you guys, when did you guys decide to get married? And
I have to say,
no, wait. Okay. You gave the answer in your question that if you go hell-bent about this idea, if you yourself are very, very sure that, you know, you can't live without this person, then and only then you'll be able to do that.
Yeah.
You'll have to be very, very stubborn about the whole thing.
Right.
That, you know, you are not going to move an inch. You are not going to compromise on this thing. If you are saying that you want to get married to this person, then you will be getting married to this person only.
And it's not to
family, have to understand.
And
that.
Not to one of those boys and girls in the catalog from all these rishtas that
you
parents
have to
get.
Tell them that.
So when did you declare to them that we want to get married on this date in this month?
No, so that wasn't the case.
That happened mutually.
No,
We didn't
so
decide it.
what happened was, after meeting Masi and everything, when I was in Delhi, I met his sister also, and then the series of meetings happened with his other family members,
One by
and
one.
one by one. Okay, and I realized that somehow there are only few people who are supporting us. The rest of them don't want us to get married, which was okay because I was an outsider. They didn't know me that well, the way Lalit did. So you also have to keep your calm at that time. And there were a lot of ups and downs, and I was given an ultimatum, and that if you can't convince your parents in this many weeks, then Lalit will get married to the girl we want him to. And I and Lalit used to laugh over it, that Lalit has to get married, and he only doesn't know who that girl is going to be. Okay, so we took it very sportingly because we knew that one day it will happen, and running away or abandoning the family was not an option. So for an instance, my mother was also very difficult because she wanted us to be, me to always pictured me getting married to a Muslim in a Muslim ceremony and all of those things, and that wasn't going to happen in this case. So I had to convince my side of the family, and it was not very easy. The struggle was real, and we used to sit together and, for hours on the phone and talk about our defense. What is the defense argument going to be like? What examples can we give them? And a lot of brainstorming, to be honest.
I mean, Sana,
And
I remember yesterday you mentioned to me that it was like winning over a difficult client.
yeah, it was like our teamwork together. And there was this whole thing of finally, I think after a year and a half of the whole dialogue thing, his grandfather, Lalit's grandfather, told us one fine day that you guys just get a date fixed. No, apply for a court marriage and let us know the date and we will come. And I
Wow.
think we were so happy.
I mean, that is progressive,
And
you guys. That
that
is not, that is very uncommon for like a grandparent out of all the members in the family to say that. And so when, I mean, I know this specifically because my parents were your what do you say? Like the
My
witnesses.
witness.
Yes, for the ceremony. So eventually, so Sana, you were able to then convince your mom, finally. She realized that, okay, this girl's not giving up.
Yeah, so I told my mother this whole thing that, Mom, listen, I am your daughter and you have loved me all your life. Now I love this one boy, and I know, and you also know that he loves me. The only thing which is stopping you is the religion. So if you choose someone from the religion which we follow, and he doesn't love me enough the way Lalit does, and if he will not be, kind enough or understanding me the way Lalit does, will you be able to see me unhappy for the rest of my life? So she looked into my eye, and then she was like, she had no answer.
You hit the nerve, basically.
And then I told her, like, I know you from childhood. You are someone who doesn't give a shit about society. What matters to you is what you think is right. And you know it deep down that this boy is right for your daughter. So just ignore that whole fact of not that he's not a Muslim. He is a great human being, and that's ideal for a person to spend the rest of your life with.
Yeah. And I mean,
And
Sana,
then I spoke
honestly.
to my grandfather, okay, and my father. And I told them that, I will get married to him. It's him, or I will move abroad. I will not get married for the rest of my life.
I mean, you can still
And
move
you
abroad. Come to
know
me.
that I'm extremely stubborn. And what I say, I mean it.
Yeah, I mean, I know that.
Yeah.
You don't have to tell me that.
So then eventually on Eid, I think Lalit came home all dressed up in, you know, how a traditional Muslim man is dressed up. And everyone, that whole religion thing was gone.
Yeah.
So it's not important to be a Muslim. It's important to just be like one of us. You don't have to really convert, or you really don't have to be someone who is praying five times and doing a lot of other things. You just have to, you know, look and show them that, you know, you really want to be a part of the family. Mm-hmm. That is what matters.
And I mean, really? I think, Sana, I mean, I would say that Lalit has actually, I have been blown away by how Lalit has made your family really comfortable, because I think I was around a couple of times when I saw him interacting with your family members, and, you know, he literally, it's like getting a PC with full customization, where he would customize everything, like how he greets them, how he Lalit, come on, how do you greet Sana's mom? Just say it, please.
Huh?
How, when you see her, how do you greet her?
How do I greet her?
Yeah.
As in what?
What do you say to her? I mean, look at that. Like, you know what? Not many people take the effort to do that. Some people are, you know, and I totally understand. It's
normal, yeah. It's normal. See, namaste, assalamualaikum, sastriyakal,
yeah.
Good morning, evening. These are very, very normal things.
And you know, like, guys, I actually took a very conscious decision to just say hello to people, right? Because then I have my own reasons, because, you know, you sort of get, you're thrown under the scanner for your lifestyle and the things you do. So I just refuse to talk about what I follow and if I follow. And there's so much speculation in general about, so what does Sabreen actually believe in? I think it's, I totally agree with you guys on so many levels that religion shouldn't be one of those things that kind of holds you back from being happy in life. In fact, it should. If you are a religious person, be a vehicle that carries you to the ultimate source of happiness in your life. So now back to you guys. I'm kind of making this about myself.
My thing is, you keep it personal, keep it to yourself, and let others decide what is good for them.
Yeah.
Instead
exactly.
Of forcing or
imposing things,
imposing
on people.
Religion on others.
Right.
And
go on, Sana.
Yeah. So while we were having this discussion of, you know, that whole brainstorming session about what do we need to say to our family or his family, or, you know, that whole dialogue. So one thing that gave us motivation was Jab We Met. Okay.
Because, oh, my God.
That is a Bollywood movie, by the way.
Yeah. And by Imtiaz Ali. So there is this whole scene where Kareena Kapoor tells Shahid Kapoor that, you know, I want to get married to the love of my life. My parents will not agree, but we'll get married. Eventually, what do they need to do? They will get angry, but eventually they will forgive us because we are their kids, right?
Yeah.
So I told this to Lalit, and Lalit also believed in that yeah, they will forgive us. They have to, you know, understand and meet our requirement, and that happened. It works. You just need to have a dialogue and don't turn violent. Just be calm.
Be calm, composed, and never bow down.
Yeah. No, absolutely.
Your parents are definitely going to play with their emotions, so you also do the same with them.
Yeah,
you also play with emotions if that's the case.
This is like, Lalit,
it's a game to strategize and win.
Lalit, I'm almost creating a flowchart in my mind. And I'm like, this PowerPoint is looking very interesting. It has lots of ideas. So, all right. So then now tell me the day this actually happened. What was the atmosphere like? What did you feel? I'm going to throw in a bunch of questions. So one, when did you get married? Where it was, what was the atmosphere like, how did you feel when, like, you were officially hitched, And if you have a funny conversation or anything right after, that must, you know.
So we got married in the month of September.
8th of September.
Month of September on the 8th, yeah. And it was a very, auspicious day because it was Ganesh Chaturthi.
Yeah.
And it was the Mount Meru feast of, there's a, you know, very old church in Bombay, in Bandra, Mount Meru. So it was Mount Meru feast on that day. And there was, I think, Eid Milad also during that day.
Wow.
So I was, when I was getting ready in the Gitanjali salon in Khan Market, I was just thinking about this, that, you know, I'm getting the blessings of all the religions, all the stakeholders from every religion. And I was extremely happy and elated. And then we went to the UPSC court in on Pandara Road at around 11 or 12 o'clock. And we just signed in the papers and clicked our picture. And
Your parents were also there.
My parents were there, yes. I was calling my parents.
And eventually a lot of people, everyone was happy. My mom was there. My nanny was there. We all were happy. We were fine. It was a great
afternoon.
Then we went for a lavish lunch. And then we went, I think then, yeah, then I went to his Masi's house in Khan Market. And whatever little traditional rituals they had to do, they did that. And after that, me and Lalit wanted to just go have some peace, our time. So he took me for a drive and we were running out of petrol. So we went to the nearest petrol pump to refuel our car. And there was this one salesperson who came, popped up from I don't know where. And he went to Lalit and I was inside the car. And Lalit is like, pull down the window. And I was like, yeah, what happened? He's like, you know what happened? I was like, yeah, what happened? He's like, see this form. This guy is saying that if you're married, then you really need to come for this meeting and it's a good offer. We should go and check it out. And I saw it was a Club Mahindra and Mahindra form. So I thought, no, Lalit, it's a trap. We shouldn't go. No. We are married now. We should go. What is it going to be about?
My parents, by the way, Sana, have been to one of these and they have been highly disappointed.
Oh my god, you.
Now you
even,
listen to
don't
this.
Even start.
So Lalit knew what was Lalit was so excited because he was married and I was his missus. So he was like, no, you're Mrs. Dalal, you have to come. So I was like, okay, let's go. And he took me to Ansal Plaza and it was like boring as fuck. And I was like, what is this place? So he's like, Ari, this was one of the most happening malls of Delhi.
That's true, like, you guys.
Right now it's not. It's a dead mall. Okay, so we go in the small, like in the lower basement, there was some...
No, basement.
It was in the lower basement. Yes, it was. Okay. It was in the lower basement. Shady sa koi room tha. It was a shady room. And as we entered, we could see like parallel workstations with some agents.
A lot of...
Yes.
Then one of them came to us and they started their whole pitch and I looked at Lalit as like, I told you.
This is a trap.
And then after half an hour or 45 minutes of torture, he was like, okay, we'll revert to you and we just left.
Yeah. Wait, so this is the day you got married?
Yes.
Oh my god.
And
they were offering us a free holiday.
Yeah, I know this. But you have to invest. You have to invest a certain amount of money.
Yeah, exactly.
It's not certain.
A lot of money.
And after this beautiful experience, we went back and we got ready and all of his friends were waiting for us in Nehru Place for celebration and then we partied our
butts off.
That whole... Yeah.
Wow. I mean, that's like, it's like a roller coaster ride. So, all right. So you guys got married and, you know, so how have things evolved since then? And this will be more of like a conclusive thing. So I wanted to know, I mean, obviously there's no question of was it worth it, but how has life been? What is it like right now? And is there a specific thought that comes to your mind when you look back?
So I would say that despite of me moving to Delhi and, you know, trying to get to know Lalit from much closer, when you get married and you start living with a person, it's a completely different thing. Because you have to wake up with that person every day and go to bed with that person every night. And there are a lot of things that, you know, can end up in an argument, or you actually discover a lot of good and bad habits about your partner.
Yeah.
So in the first year of our marriage, we were discovering that about each other. And boys being boys, they are not, they don't like to be clean and proper. They will roll their socks somewhere. The pair of shoes is lying somewhere else. The shirt is, there's like a pile of a mountain of laundry, dirty laundry. And all these things were happening. And I was away.
Sana, I have to say this. I have to say that I was that guy. Yeah, because the person I'm married to is extremely... like Remember. The Marie Kondo of yes. Anyway.
Yeah, we all know that.
Yeah, back to you.
So so eventually all these things, my OCD was hitting like rooftop. I was like, I had a lot of interventions with Lalit that you are no longer a bachelor and this is not a bachelor pad. This is our home. Like our home. And then he actually made it a point that he will work on it. And but there is a huge improvement. Huge improvement in Lalit. Like, for a matter of fact, he started loving that clean house that I used to, you know, run pillar to post to keep that house clean and tidy. Once I was out for a trip and... when I was back, the house was in the exact same position. And yeah. I was like...
yeah, that's because she was not there in the mid.
Yeah, so but when I used to come back, it used to be the same. And I think that is a huge achievement for me.
Right. And so on the religion...
Having our rules.
Mm-hmm.
He will do the laundry... I will cook, he will do the dishes, or I will do the laundry, he will cook. So it is very well-balanced.
So, Sana, one question I have is that, has now that you guys are married and it's been a couple of years, has religion ever been a point of discussion? Are you guys doing your own thing, or how does it work?
We do both the things.
Yeah. Okay, so
actually, we do all the things. My grandmother was a Roman Catholic and she married a Muslim.
Okay.
My maternal grandmother. So I have always celebrated Christmas with my extended family. And when I got married, and Christmas in Delhi is beautiful. So we celebrate Christmas, Eid and Diwali.
Right.
So it's a... year-long celebration for us.
That's amazing.
Something very, very shocking. Huh?
Yeah, tell me.
These days, my mother is here. She is living with us.
Yeah.
And it's the month of Ramzan.
Yeah.
Sana does her rituals inside the house in front of my mom. And she's okay with it.
Yeah.
In fact, she sits with us.
When we open the fast.
Yeah, and eats the iftari.
Wait, Lalit, are you fasting as well?
No, I'm not.
Yeah, it's a very strenuous.
Yeah, I've done that once.
Please ask me the. I am not. Just an FYI. So
I'm not. I can't.
I hear you. I mean, and it's fine. It's really. Sana, it's really about the effort, I think. It's really not about you actually fasting or looking at the moon or, like, all those things. I think it's, at the end of the day, it's all about, Sana, I know you've talked a lot about this in the past, you know, secularity, respect for each other's culture. And I think it's like a beautiful cocktail of the best of both the worlds. So I think that's amazing. And now you have a beautiful addition to your family, Elishma, who is how many months old now?
Nine
and a half.
Oh my God, I cannot believe that it's been 9.5 months and life is beautiful. It's the beginning of a new life, right? And you have such a beautiful story to tell your child when they grow up. It's I'm not joking. Like, this is actually a story worth sharing, as opposed to my mom found this guy and then, like, our families met and we didn't even see each other, and because that still happens, or they meet like a couple of times and they get married. It's pretty, this is not to put down people who have that kind of a setup, but I'm just saying your story is definitely like a blockbuster. It's something powerful, you know, it inspires other people. And so before we kind of sign off, I wanted to ask you guys, Lalit, we'll start with you first. What are your top three, you know, pieces of advice for someone? And I know you talked about some of them, but I want to bullet them out. What are your top three? I don't want to pressurize you. It could be like point two.
Top three advice is about what?
About like this, how to deal with it. Yeah. How to deal with it.
First and foremost, instead of going for the whole family, pick specific people within the family whom you can easily convince, and they will help you out in the whole and in the entire process.
Right.
First point. Okay. Second point, always be calm and composed in front of your family.
Okay.
Never lose your faith. And third point is, and this is the most important one, always be very, very sure about the person you are fighting for.
Mm-hmm.
Whether you are actually, you know, whether you are actually very, very sure about the person that you are going to get married to, that same person only, then and only then you go ahead with your idea. Otherwise, don't do that.
Okay. I mean, those are three very solid takeaways. And Sana, what about you?
I would like to begin with, like, I agree with Lalit on most, on all the three pointers. But firstly, you have to be very sure about the person, because it's a matter of your life.
Okay? Correct.
And that person needs to be worth it. Second is, and how do you get to know that the person is worth it? Try to be that person's friend and not a lover first. So you get that surety. Mm-hmm. That person is the one. The second thing is that you need to just sit and talk it out with your parent very frankly. Like how you have these long chats with your friend in a barista. You have to be that open and talk about your deepest feeling about that person, mm-hmm. how he or she took care of you. Tell your parent about it. Only then they will understand the gravity of love both of you have for each other. And I think that makes the convincing quite easy. And thirdly, I did that mistake, but I would, you know, try be like tell people that not to lose your temper while you're talking to your parent. And mutual respect is very important. Mm-hmm. You don't have to look down upon, like, I know a lot of couples who get married and then they have this whole notion that arey uske religion mein, you know, in his religion it is like this and his ritual is like this. No. If you decide to get married to that person and if he comes from another faith or another caste, you just have to respect their religion, their customs and rituals, and it will be an easy ride. You don't have to look down upon anything, because the person that you're living with right now is someone who has been through all of that, and maybe that's why that person is so beautiful.
Yeah, exactly.
So that is my key takeaway.
All right. Well, that was one hell of a meaty conversation. So a big thank you to Sana and Lalit for their transparency. I'm so grateful you guys took the time to be here. And I'm sure that all our listeners have some great takeaways. And for those who are currently grappling with a similar situation, we wish you the best. Patience is the key. Huge shout out to all those who tuned in. And if you are interested in getting alerts for my future episode releases, then please go to my website, www.sabrinehazik.info, and sign up for my newsletter. I'll see you next week with another compelling story. Till then, chin up.
Yeah. Hello there.